I feel that it is kind of essential to be able to experience the feeling of wrestling with someone who's done it since they were a kid, you know, and you can see the speed and the finesse they have with their technique.
Okay, guys, hello and welcome to another fun Witchmat episode. Apologies for the quality of the call. We're having a little bit of an issue, but we'll be able to get through it. As usual, thank you to MJN Jiu-Jitsu in St. Cloud, Florida, to Gitana Fightwear, to Juchi Gi Brands, to Base Build Inc., and also to a new sponsor, Flow Life, that has just jumped on and started supporting us as well. Today's episode is one that is a little more near and dear to my heart than usual. Today's guest hails from the green pastures of my home country, Ireland. He became the second ever Irish grappler to qualify for ADCC. Our guest gained worldwide notoriety this year after two big performances, the IBJJF European Open, and then secondly, where he absolutely obliterated the 66-kilogram division, winning 5 of 6 matches via submission to win first place in the ADCC European Trials, thus qualifying him for the up-and-coming ADCC in Las Vegas, Nevada, in just a few days' time. Please welcome the incredible Mr. Sam McNally, aka the 66 kilo killer, as I have just adopted for him. How you doing, Sam?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I was expecting like a cheering sound or something to be to come in at some stage.
You're the second person to say that, so I need to actually probably start doing that.
Fit in.
So now you are only one of two Irish ever to qualify, Tom Halpin being the other one. And as you put it yourself, essentially the most prestigious grappling tournament in the world by a long shot, right? So no pressure.
Tom qualified in 2019. That was when the last one was. And then I've qualified in 2022. So
yeah. Now, you know, like, of course, there have been a ton of other, you know, famous Irish people, Katie Taylor, Sonia O'Sullivan, you know, the Irish football team. You know yourself the tenacity and the support that Irish fans can bring to sports and to sort of anybody that is Irish that sort of accomplishes something. What does it feel like for you now to be kind of be on the athlete end of things?
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's actually quite surprising the amount of people that are supportive, you know, because I just go training, put my head down, then I go compete, and that's about it. Whereas some of my friends who don't even do jiu-jitsu are going to come to Vegas, a lot of my teammates, my family, you know, just I wouldn't expect that of my own accord, you know, and I'm getting messages all the time being like, oh, good luck and stuff. So it's nice. It's very nice.
Do you feel kind of a degree of, like, fame? I mean, obviously it's sort of early days, we don't want to count our chickens, so to speak, but like, it is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I suppose. I imagine this will be a fairly life-changing next couple of weeks, so I do think about that, but apart from that, I'm the same person anyways. I'm still gonna turn up and go training the week after, or maybe I'll take a few days off, but I'm still gonna keep training and just keep working.
Yeah, and you've been training with Dara O'Connell of East Coast Jiu-Jitsu. You're black belt under him, I guess, and he's also a black belt under Janji Hibero, is that correct?
Cylon Janji back from years ago.
What's it like training under him? Is Dara helping you? You're in New York at the moment, is he with you, or what's the deal there?
No, Dara, I'm on my own out here.
Wow.
What happened was, initially when I qualified, I was going to go and travel to a few different places. I wanted to go to the States to get some wrestling experience in, and I only had a couple of weeks planned to go. So when I got over here, then I decided that initially I was going to actually travel to, like, I was going to go to New York and Texas, travel to a few different places. Maybe a week before I left, 2 weeks before I left, I met JT in Cyprus, and I trained with him, and he was really good. So I went to his gym, started to go to his gym, and then the training here is just insane. So I just stayed for the whole camp.
Now, you mentioned the wrestling there, something I wanted to ask you about. Like, so I did judo in Ireland. Yeah, I grew up a little bit doing judo, and then I did it in college. But like, that's sort of, you know, in college for me, it was 25 years ago, not to show my age, Adrian, but at that time, jiu-jitsu didn't exist. Wrestling wasn't something that really existed. So like, there is sort of some question as to, not only for Irish competitors, but a lot of jiu-jitsu practitioners in general, how to up their game with the wrestling end of things. How have you been working on that? And what are your thoughts on the fact that sort of wrestling doesn't seem to be historically a big thing in Ireland? And, or maybe I'm oblivious to that. Is what's that wrestling like in Ireland?
Yeah, well, I presume there's some wrestling. It's just the level is so different. Over here, there are people who've been training since they were kids, and that makes such a difference in terms of the way that they move, you know, especially because you can wrestle in high school, you can wrestle in college, and if you're good here in college, you can move into Division One or the NCAA and things like that. That kind of structure makes the sport a lot more developed, I think. So the guys here that I train with who have wrestling knowledge or actively wrestle, knowledge of techniques is so different as well. So I think back home, you know, like I obviously do practice takedowns and things like that. It's just expanding that knowledge base and also getting experience in terms of the different positions and different techniques, and also just experiencing the feeling of someone who's able to do technique at the black belt level. Specifically for ACC, the relationship between wrestling and the rest of the tournament with the rule set is kind of paramount to be able to stand up. It's not necessarily that you have to be an expert at wrestling per se, like folk style wrestling, as you would if you're competing in a wrestling tournament, you know, because obviously if you get on the person's back, you can take their back, you can choke them. If they try shoot on, you can guillotine you. There's different kind of rules that allow you to be on bottom without being scored on and different things like that. So it's a kind of a sub, you're taking like a subcategory of wrestling to use it in the context of the ADCC, but I feel that it is kind of essential to be able to experience the feeling of wrestling with someone who's done it since they were a kid, you know, and you can see the speed and the finesse they have with their technique. It's similar to, you know, for me, I've done jiu-jitsu since I was 16 or so, you know, so the way that I move around, I'm sure that it's kind of ingrained in me to be a certain way. I think it's similar with people who wrestle here, and being able to experience that is important.
Now, I think it's interesting that there is there has been some idea that takedowns, whether it's wrestling or judo or otherwise, aren't sort of something that is very strong in the 66 kilo division. What are your thoughts there? Is there any truth to that? Like that division aren't as good at takedowns as other divisions, maybe?
Because a lot of the competitors especially in 66 are, you know, will be coming from the gi tournaments, from the IBJJF, takedowns are almost not a factor at the highest level, just the way that the points are structured. So generally you're going to encounter people with better guards than you are with better takedowns, but there's always one or two or three maybe people in the division that'll have a decent enough level of wrestling. So you need to be able to stand up on the feet, you know, because if you don't, the way the points work and the overtime works, the people who are good wrestlers could just stall out the fight until they make you stand up and then take you down. So you have to be able to wrestle with the level that allows you to actually engage and submit them, you know. So, but it's definitely more the predominant kind of game in the 66 division is more geared around guard players who would be transferring over from the gi training, but you know, so what?
Yeah. It's funny how the game is changing. Obviously, before now to a lot more, you know, immediate double guard pulls and things like that. It's not sort of necessarily a stand up game. That has changed a lot. You mentioned somewhere that you know you weren't very sporty as a kid. It's fairly traditional in Ireland. I wasn't one of them. I did more judo, but it's fairly traditional for people to do, you know, GAA, or which is for people listening, Gaelic football or football or soccer, as it's called, the sort of generics of growing up in Ireland. That wasn't something that you ever really did.
I played hurling a little bit as a kid, but never at any decent level. I more so just participated really than anything else.
Yeah.
And apart from that, nah, I just, I don't know, I never had much of an interest in like team sports or anything. You know, I do it for some, like I play hurling just for the sake of doing something until I was 13 or 14. But once I got into secondary school, I went to an Irish speaking secondary school, and they took the sport pretty seriously, you know. So then I was kind of just pushed this line, and I don't want to play anymore. So, but then I found jiu-jitsu. So
you were doing judo initially, I think you were introduced in school, but then you switched because there weren't enough judo clubs on the south side. Is that true?
Yeah, in fourth year, in transition year, for anyone listening that doesn't know the Irish schooling system, there's a non-academic year but in your fourth year of school if you want to do it. And we did judo as a module, but I really liked it, but there was no judo near me in South Dublin. Even to this day, there's still not really any. I don't know why. But yeah, so then I found the jiu-jitsu club that Dara was running in Monkstown at the time. It was called a different name, but yeah.
And I suppose, like, you know, over the last kind of 20 years, jiu-jitsu has started to build up and become more predominant. John Kavanagh, obviously one of the earliest to push jiu-jitsu or Brazilian jiu-jitsu in Ireland. Is there any kind of flavor or defining characteristics to Irish jiu-jitsu, you think? Or is it just kind of adopting the same approach that most other, anything different about Irish jiu-jitsu?
There's something different anyways, because there's a lot of people and there's fairly, relative to the size of the population, there's quite a high standard of competitors. So there's something going on that's obviously good. I think probably just the fact that it's a relatively wealthy country where people can get kind of essentially free education and are fairly to pursue what they want in life without being inhibited by too many economic factors relative to most other places in the world probably contributes a lot to people to develop. And I think it's the same if you look at Norway as well. Norway produces a lot of good jiu-jitsu athletes too, and it's a similar type of environment, so I think that plays a significant enough factor. But there's no secrets anyways. There's no secret techniques or secrets in the training room. It's just work, you know.
Yeah, just hard work. I suppose, like, Connor obviously has I suppose been good and bad for Irish MMA, in that, like, obviously he exposed a lot of it. He's a bit of a character himself, so I do sense some kind of degree of at least, maybe the best way to put it would be lack of understanding of what MMA is in Ireland, or at least used to be that way. You know, now that people are starting to do it more and more with the last sort of decade or whatever, it's probably been more accepted. Is that fair to say?
Before Conor, whenever people would ask what I do, and I'd be like, I wouldn't even tell them I do jiu-jitsu because nobody'd have a clue what was going on, you know. But then, obviously, afterwards, if you do jiu-jitsu, they'd be like, "Oh yeah, I've seen the UFC, I've seen Conor McGregor doing the UFC, you know." So, and also just the people training shot up around that time, whatever year that was, 2015 or so. So yeah.
You're trying to, obviously have to support yourself, and I know you went back to. You went to school for computer programming. Obviously, my little company does that as well. Web programming. What kind of programming are you doing? Are you able to do it now? Is that part of your plan for your future? Are you going to sort of combine it with grappling, with jiu-jitsu, or what? Any thoughts there?
Yeah, pretty much. What I do now is I pretty much just do full stack development for myself, for my own business. But when I'm not training, I spend most of my time writing code, building out software for. Trying to automate a lot of the back-end processes of the company so that I can do more. I can be away for longer without having to necessarily be there sitting at a desk, taking people's details for signing up for membership, things like that. You know, keeping track of classes and people covering classes, and it makes a huge difference because it lets me be able to travel and also know that I have systems that are scalable for employing people back home.
Our own Amy Campo, who's from the Valley here in Salt Lake, is competing. She just came through West Coast Trials, also with flying colors. She's a great competitor, great coach, etc. There are no easy divisions in the ADCC. Again, we've said, like, you can't emphasize enough that this is a big deal, not to put any pressure on you. but it's, you know, it's awesome. You know, 66 is not an easy division. That's 66 kilos being about 145 pounds. You have Gary Tonin, you've got several solid opponents in there. Is there any opponent that you would love to start out with? Anybody that you would think would be a great matchup for you? And, you know, how do you prepare in general for, you know, just walking in the door, getting ready to take on one of these guys?
Not really. Everyone's tough. I don't think it makes a huge difference as well. Even just the how hard the bracket is as such, just the level people is generally fairly open as to, you know, there's no clear gaps between a lot of the different competitors, so it doesn't really make a difference to me who I fight. I'm confident in any regards. But for approaching it, you don't find out the brackets until the night before, so I have a plan of what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it regardless of who it is. And that's mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. Your submission rate is ridiculous. Like, what's with all the arm bars?
Yeah, I don't know. I just like the submissions from bottom. For a long time, I never did a lot of nogi. Like, I would train, I would compete in nogi, but most of the time I just train in the gi. I think especially started to focus a bit more on wanting to get some achievements in nogi ground. A lot of the work that I've done in my guard in the gi just translated onto the nogi, and then same as well with the passing into certain positions where I like to do submissions. You know, no one necessarily showed me any tricks or anything specific. I think it was just time in those positions, and I don't know, it suits the way that I think about training to actually just submit people.
Yeah, it's an aggressive sort of attacking style, which is obviously very effective. Do you have any, I don't want to get sort of cheesy into, like, what's your mental game or anything like that? Like, I guess, is there anything that stands out to you in terms of preparation? Like, has your diet changed? Is there anything specific about what you're doing over the last few weeks? Or do you just eat whatever you want?
I kind of eat whatever. Well, I try to eat in a way that lets me have a good relationship with food, let's say, just because it's times trying to do, very strict cuts, I don't think is good for you mentally speaking, because it makes you binge outside of, and I know that I have to act in a way that allows me to repeat the making weight, you know, for the next 4 years or so. So I'm not like, I don't have any kind of crazy strict diet. Like, I obviously do have to restrict my calories and watch my weight go down. But there's nothing where I'm like, oh, I can't eat this or I can't eat that. Well, obviously, like sweets and chocolate and things like that. One of the main things I think has made a huge difference for training recently, trying to implement a lot more kind of sports science approaches to training methodology. So even before qualifying, my strength and conditioning coach, he'd help me with a lot of the, just plan out long-term training, you know, so that obviously as you get older, it's easier to get injured, and all just the wear and tear in your body is substantial enough that if you don't look after yourself, you'll just get injured. So manage the load of training over time so that you're able to train most efficiently, I think makes a huge difference. When I came to New York, JT has a coach that does this for him as well, and he plans out a lot of the training sessions. So a lot of the time we're training, he's done a lot of wrestling before, so his name is John Marsh, but I find that the training is structured in a way essentially designed to bring you to the point of where you're about to become, you know, where you're about to gas out or break, and then taper it back and then periodize and get yourself to the point where overreaching at the right time, you're recovering at the right time, tapering at the right time, ready to peak for the tournament. So now the tournament's just around the corner. I feel great. This is, I think this makes a huge difference.
And you also mentioned somewhere that resting better, recuperation has been something that you've kind of learned to do better in more recent times.
Sorry, I suppose it's kind of hard to explain in terms of what it feels like, but just the act training to the point that you aren't able to continue that pace or up pace time is obviously going to be detrimental to your ability to train. Also, same thing with tournament. You know, in competition, as we get into the finals of 20 minutes, it can be 40 minutes. I'm training so that in that 4 minutes and that last 10 minutes, I'm picking up the pace, you know? So being able to train in a way that allows you to rest enough that your body is recovered to actually implement, you know, much greater volume over time so that your work capacity increases is key. So especially in the last year, I'd say, is really when I started to realize this, that, like, you know, if I have the appropriate schedule of training plus rest in a way that's periodized and that is adaptable to, I could double the amount of work that I could do over that period of time in terms of just training ability and you know, not take steroids or anything. So that kind of stuff, I think, is really key. And also, there's not a huge culture of that in the sport at the moment because there's not a lot of money for people to be able to invest in things like that. So I think, you know, being able to bring that in is just such a benefit, and it just gives you such an edge.
And it's funny, again, not to go back onto the sort of business end of things, but as you say, money is not available in a big way for a lot of, you know, grappling athletes, competitors. This is not MMA. Frankly, even MMA, there's not a lot of money in it. And so, you know, having sort of means to run a business in parallel that in some way can potentially support this the sport that you do is pretty important.
I think COVID was kind of a blast in regards, because I got 2 years just to study, you know,
and yeah.
I know that I have means to be able to support myself even without having to necessarily win prize money or teach of private lessons or seminars or anything like that. So
I wanted to just, like, we'll wrap up pretty quickly. I know you've got bigger things to be doing right now, but for people listening that aren't necessarily big competitors or whatever, I noticed one thing you had mentioned where you mentioned, you know, you try to focus on one thing every week, to one position, one takedown, whatever that is, to sort of better your game.
Yeah. Yeah. For just general skill development, I think.
Yes.
Well, I like one major position a month and then break it down into smaller positions every week. Now, for me now, when I'm training for a specific tournament, it changes. That changes slightly, because obviously if I know that the day for the ADCC is coming up, I have to be able to wrestle. So I'm going to wrestling at the forefront of the training. But yeah, I like to plan that out now. I think just being able to write that down and plan that out and say, okay, look, here's my goal, and here's a list of things to prioritize in relationship to my goal. Here's where my strengths are. Here's where my weaknesses are. Okay, how can I most effectively increase the skill level in the places where I'm weak, while also, you know, maintaining or slightly improving the places where I'm strong, and then learning to mesh those together in terms of the actual things, I think, is key. So kind of like, you know, if I'm out of camp, I like to have, like, a, you know, 1 month where I want to work on a specific position that I can improve, say passing, and then every week just try and divide that into something smaller, and write a few notes out on that, and practice and training and the drilling as well, just to build a kind of a mental map of what should be going on. And as you do that, I find that in my own mind, the techniques that open up to me change a little bit. Or what I think is nice as well, you just take away a lot of stuff, because you find things to say, okay, well, you know, this core thing that I should be able to do, so let's work on this one technique that I should be able to before I try to learn and have these backups and like that. I think that helps well for, like, you know, do learn submissions or things like that. You know, what are the core principles of what I should be trying to achieve in a given position, so that these submissions and sweeps open up for me, as opposed to just trying different things while neglecting the more fundamental aspects of how the actual positions work, or how the techniques should be combined together in a kind of a mapped out way in my own mind. So
do you have any interest in doing MMA at any point, or you're staying with the grappling?
Nah, I tried. When I was like 21 or some, or what age was I? I was much younger. I tried MMA for about 3 months, a bit of training. I got hit in the head a few times. I was like, no. A few headaches. Yeah. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. My ability to think is going to be fairly diminished over time if I keep doing this. I was like, nah.
Sam, who in the Irish community do you think I should interview next on this podcast?
Who should you interview next? Who's very interested in jiu-jitsu, or just generally?
Jiu-jitsu themed.
Well, obviously, I like the people I train with. Yeah, Marcus or Dara or Shane, Richie, anyone who was kind of in the room, I think would be interesting to interview.
Now, Sam, I know I can speak on behalf of the rest of the Irish community when I say, you know, we're extremely proud of everything you've accomplished thus far anyway. And like any other sort of historical Irish events, we'll be absolutely glued to the screens when your matches are up. So I really appreciate you taking the time to come on, and I wish you the very best of luck.
I really enjoyed that. Thank you for your time.